Welcome back to better. I almost put a hand signal up like, yeah, welcome. That was hard. welcome back to the marriage pod, better than one marriage podcast. Two are better than one. Get a good reward for your labor. Someone to help you up when you're falling, because you will fall.
Amen.
I'm Ron Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi. And
still married. It's been a long time coming. And now we are at the point where it would be better to stay together than to get a divorce.
Chelsea. That's very true.
It's better to stay together.
It's much more to lose at this point.
It's true. That's the hard part. Well, yeah. Really, it's not the hard part so much as, well, yeah, it is the hard part, because the hard part of marriage is, you know, really it's not marriage itself. It's you inside of the marriage. You're the hard part of marriage. Once you realize that, that helps you to get to the next stage and say, okay, well, I'm the hard part. Okay, I'll stop being the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And now marriage can take its course.
Yeah.
You stop talking about you all the time. It's like, well, you know, what do we need?
Yeah.
What needs to happen for us?
Mm-hmm.
And now you start developing that time. Mm-hmm. And now it would be goofy. Just like, you know, it's really hard to comprehend. I can understand how it could happen, but it's hard to comprehend people being together for long stretches, like really long, you know, decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, I got to get that divorce.
Yeah.
But it's,
I mean,
not
at
uncommon.
The same time, it depends on the circumstances.
It does.
Sometimes yeah. Sometimes you've been in it too long. Sometimes you've overstayed your welcome.
Oh man.
And so for some people, it's just that, I should have did this a long time ago.
Yeah.
And for other people, it's that something so egregious happened.
Ah, that's true.
That it's not worth it.
Yikes.
You know, so.
Or unforeseen.
Yeah, unforeseen.
Yeah, sometimes you go in, yeah, well, really, almost, I feel like most human beings go in many situations with really good intentions.
Yeah.
And then you get in and then you realize, I don't have it.
Yeah.
I'm not cut out. I almost quit my middle school basketball team because they was doing too much running for my taste. And I was trying to let them know I'm fast, but running is not my ministry. So I don't want to just, you know, how many suicides is we going to run?
Right.
Eventually you get to one, you're like, man, I don't need this. I'm walking out.
Indeed.
Man, I don't want to do this, man. I'm about to quit, man. It's too much. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a chump.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, man, go get some water. go get some water, man.
That's hilarious.
Man, whatever.
Oh, man.
It was weak is what it was.
Mm.
Should have kept going till I died. But speaking of that, I think that's a good segue into, are we talking about teamwork today?
We are talking about teamwork. This season is, why should I get married?
Yeah, why should you?
And one of the reasons is to be part of a team.
Part of a team, Chels. And what is the definition of a team? I don't even know.
I
would throw one out there.
I didn't have that in mind.
Nah. Well, team is, you know, I would imagine different participants on one side of something, mm-hmm. trying to attain a specific goal or achievement.
Mm.
That was my definition.
Yes. This says, this is the new Oxford American Dictionary. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what comes up when you Google things on an iPhone.
That's right.
Or when you not even Google, but just search things on iPhone.
That's right.
Okay.
Oxford.
A group of players, mm-hmm. forming one side.
There you go.
In a competitive game or sport.
Ah, see, they want
to
be.
In a competitive game
see,
or sport.
But that's one definition. See,
yeah,
if you're
see.
A team of Navy SEALs, y'all ain't playing no games.
Right. So that's a noun. As a verb, come together.
Team up.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. Come together as a team to achieve a common goal.
There you go.
Or match or coordinate a garment with another.
That's
a
funny.
A pinstripe suit teamed with a crisp white shirt. That's literally what it says.
That's funny. Okay, I've never used that terminology for a team, but
me
I get
either.
It.
That's funny.
I get it. That's beautiful.
Harnessed together to pull a vehicle.
Uh-oh.
Animals, especially horses.
Yes.
Take one for the team. That's what's under phrases.
I hear you.
Yes, a lot.
All right.
Well, it's cool. A lot.
The part about, well, you know, maybe I'll save that.
Okay.
Because I'll see what, you know, because I saw there's an article about teamwork and we're going to go with that.
Yes. Well, really, it's just a list of scriptures.
A list of scriptures.
But the scripture I want to start with is our founding scripture.
Amen.
The Better Than One Marriage podcast, Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes.
Chapter 4.
Oh, 4.
We always quote verse 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to read 9 through 12. This is the King James Version. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Mm-hmm. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Yeah. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Mm-hmm. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Come on now. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that root of teamwork. I mean, I would have never thought about lying down with people other than you. But, hey, the Lord said it. So, hey, man, it's cold, brother. Let's just come on. Let's bundle up.
I mean, you sure would if you and Marquise got stranded in,
yes, sir, Marquise.
In the...
Especially
Serengeti.
Marquise,
I don't
know. He'd be cold. Marquise has a cold thing. I don't know why he'd be cold, but he definitely would have to like bundle up. And all right, we're together. I'm sorry.
Why is he who came to mind? I don't know. But Marquise, if you're ever stranded with my husband, make sure you don't let him freeze to death.
Especially not in some desert.
Wow.
You better be Bear Grylls and get to it.
Yeah, but if we really look at this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor.
Yeah.
That's the first thing it says. Because they have a good reward for their labor. That would lead me to believe because you can be more fruitful.
Okay.
Or more effective. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can have a reward for your labor as one person.
Wow. I mean, the way you just said it made me think that it didn't mean that. It actually means the reward is the person. It actually sounded like that to me.
Oh.
It's like two are better than one. Why? Because mm-hmm. they have a good reward for their labor. Like they're doing something together. It's almost like... like we're almost, the reward is that we're together
mm-hmm.
to do it
mm-hmm.
as opposed to having to done it alone and having nobody to share. You know, Billy D. Williams, success. I ain't even going to try Billy D. Williams impression, but success is nothing without having someone to share it with.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've never read it like that until right now.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going up because, you know, context,
mm-hmm.
context. I'm going up to verse 7. It says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. This is Ecclesiastes. Everything is vanity. Everything really is pointless and meaningless, according to Solomon. At that time.
Yes.
And that's not really what he means. What he means is like the essence of things is much more simple than what we make it. And like, you know, we put too much stock and value in things that. In things rather than like principles and people.
Oh, God, really?
And God, yeah. But anyway, starting at verse 7, he says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. In verse 8, there is one alone and there is not a second.
Amen.
Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Mm. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor?
Mm-hmm.
And bereave my soul of good.
Mm. There it is.
This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. That's exactly what you just said. Yeah. If I'm not working for anyone, if no one else benefits from this,
it doesn't matter. Right?
It doesn't matter.
Wow. Well, shout out to the prophetic. I didn't know that until she just read. I've never actually read that part.
Me, I have, but it never jumped out at me until just now. The Spirit just told me, scroll up.
Yeah.
I'm about to look at a different version. Did you want to say anything while I do that?
Well, no. I didn't know if he was trying to hit all 15 scriptures.
Oh, yeah. But I just wanted to look at that in another translation.
Gotcha. Because we can go. We can go.
Yes.
Labor. You got something to birth out of you. And I'm over here just making stuff up. But yeah. Yeah, but that is something that is to be said, that without someone, it's literally, you know, the essence of our nature concerning, you know, existence is that God is giving something to us through our creation, and in us is something that wants to be like God, and that we want to give. Like, that's where people actually, this is why I say God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's like, in giving, you're being like God.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature, you'll be more, just more fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that makes you more like God will always make you more fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. No, and anytime, because, like, really just thinking, like, because so many people are, like, against marriage and just don't want to be married, and they're looking at it as, like, a ball and chain.
Mm-hmm.
The people literally refer to their spouse as a ball and chain,
mm-hmm.
You know, and But when you come from God's perspective, first of all, this is something God gave to us as a gift.
Yeah.
You know, as a reward. You know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Excuse me. When you read Proverbs 31 and it talks about, like, she's just such a blessing to her husband, to her children, to, and they rise up and call her blessed and they brag about her. Like, we have a great wife. We have a great mom.
Mama.
You know, and men, you know, who walk in their biblical role, you know, are such stabilizers and strong forces and spiritual guides and all of that to their household. So it's like, this is a beautiful thing that God gave us as a gift. And then, you know, obviously sex being involved.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause it's really only supposed to happen within the confines of marriage.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like all of these things are gifts and like benefits to be enjoyed. And, but yeah, when we look at it from what we are losing instead of what we are gaining, because, and that's really the Christian walk in totality. You know, in order to serve Christ, which I was looking at the study questions for our small group that we're having this evening.
Yeah.
And John Piper was basically, because we're doing Why Do We Believe the Bible? It's a study from John Piper. And he was saying, you know, if the Bible is indeed not yet true, not yet. Why am I saying yet? Not true. I'm sorry, it's hilarious.
Couldn't accept it at all. It's going to be true. Ain't no.
If the Bible is indeed not true, you know, then why are we denying ourselves of pleasure,
right,
and denying ourselves of just self and just our inclinations, our wants, our desires, and just doing whatever we want to do? And why are we taking on the burden of trying to strive to live for Christ? You know, why are we accepting the persecution? Why are we, you know, struggling when we could just be taking the viewpoint of like, oh, well, let me just do whatever I feel like doing.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't have to, I don't have no, you know, nothing to, no one to answer to, all of that. You know, that's Christianity in, as a whole. You know, like when you view things from what you're losing instead of what you're gaining, then it doesn't seem worth doing, you know, and a lot of people view Christianity that way. Why be a Christian when that means I can't do what I want to do? I can't go where I want to go. I can't make my own decisions. I can't, I have to completely deny myself, literally take up my cross and follow him. And, you know, not only denial, but laboring for him. Why do I want to sign up for that? You know, but it's not what you're losing, it's what you're gaining.
Yeah.
Because anything that you're going to do in your own strength or from your own quote unquote wisdom, it pales in comparison, you know, to the reward that you, to the reward that you get when you follow God's wisdom and when you follow his instructions. So really it's like, we talked about this last week, pride, having to lay aside your pride and say, I don't actually know what's best for me. I don't actually know what reward is. I don't actually know what success is, you know, like I won't even see the half in this lifetime. You know, we're storing up treasures in heaven, you know, and you're looking at this from like a temporal standpoint of like in this life, you know, I'm like that whole you only live once thing when, you know, when we're looking at it from God's viewpoint, it's like, this is a, what do they call, what does he call that? Like the grass withers and fades away. Like this is just a, oh my gosh, a vapor.
Yeah, vapor.
Our life is just a vapor. I think that's in Ecclesiastes too. Probably. Our life is just a vapor, you know? So it's here on this side, it's just a vapor. So it's like, yeah, I missed out, quote unquote, on this, that, and the third thing, but like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's good to, it's good to realize that, and this is like from Myron Golden, a video that popped up, and I'd heard him say it before, but you know, what the first sin was, Satan getting Adam and Eve to focus on what they lacked as opposed to what they had. They had literally, there was only one thing on the earth or in the garden. And really the garden was the earth. But there was only one thing that they could not have access to. And he got them to focus on that.
Yeah.
And I was starting to, you know, shift my mindset concerning, you know, just general struggles and things you may not have. And it's just like, you know, if you focus on that, then you'll realize, or rather the realization or the realities rather will like of that lack will just become bigger and bigger to you as opposed to focusing on what you have and being grateful for that. Yeah. And now that becomes magnified.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you focus on becomes magnified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the case of Ecclesiastes 4, I pulled up the NLT. I love the NLT. It's verse 7 and 8. It says, I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is also meaningless and depressing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. When we look at it that way, you know, because it really just everything in God is on the back end. Sure. Some stuff is in the now, but like most of it is on the back end, you know, whether it's in this life or in the life to come. It's like a lot of times we don't see the wisdom and the treasure in what we're working toward and what we're doing. Immediately. And I think we definitely are in a culture of immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, we have put time in.
Yeah.
And now we're on the side of it where we have a lot more to lose than to gain.
Certainly.
But that was on the back end.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you don't give it time, you know.
Yeah.
You won't be there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a list of other scriptures here. 15 supporting Bible verses about teamwork.
Teamwork in the Bible. Right. Well, supporting scriptures.
Yes, know. Supporting scriptures. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Wow. That's I mean, we could be there all day.
Yeah.
Number one, you got to fight with your friends. All right. Number two, you got to be hard. No. But, you know, it's amazing. Iron sharpens iron is the circle of friends that you have will be a representation of you. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, certain people cannot help you, right? And I don't necessarily feel like that should be that you should, like, throw them away or anything like that because you may be helping them. Mm-hmm. However, they cannot necessarily sharpen you in the ways that they are not equipped for.
Yeah.
Right? They can, you know, let's say you have a person who is affluent or let's say a person who has money and has some sort of career and, you know, is prospering in some manner. If there's somebody who is not prospering, has no career, has a dead-end job, and does not have any money, I cannot go to them about money. Mm-hmm. I can go to them about something that they do possess. Maybe they have a great attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's so true.
Right. Iron, it doesn't matter what the actual thing is. All that matters is that it's on the same playing field and can actually benefit each other.
Yeah.
Iron sharpening iron, it literally means, and at that time, iron, I guess, was the hardest thing they had.
Yeah.
Really, there's harder things now, but at the time, that was the best they had. It's like, you know, titanium steel sharpens titanium steel.
Yeah.
Like, you can only cut certain things with, like, a diamond. You can only cut a diamond with another diamond or something like that.
Right.
So, it doesn't matter what it is. It only matters that it's on the same playing field to actually be beneficial.
Yeah.
Because your lack of knowledge cannot sharpen my knowledge.
Yeah.
Your lack of understanding cannot sharpen my wisdom. Mm-hmm. Your you know, but your empathy can sharpen my empathy.
Yeah.
Your giving heart can sharpen my giving heart, regardless of how much money I have. Mm-hmm. Right. Your love for God can sharpen my love for God.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually the intangibles that probably are more, you know, straight laced, whereas other things that are more tangible are more tangible are kind of more like standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I think a good point of that, too, is that sometimes it's well, like really all the time. That's another benefit of being part of a team and not just being alone is because, you know, there's always going to be deficits in you.
Yes.
And there's deficits in them too. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, they're better at certain things than you are, and you're better at certain things than they are. And you sharpen those weak areas in each other.
Oh, boy. And here we go. This is the point I was going to make, Chels, is that sometimes the idea of a team, we would say that the best team possible would be a team that has the best people on it.
Right.
And that's actually not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Well, whereas the best team is the team who whose players play their role the best.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily about having the best people. It's like when you actually look like a team, like an NBA team or an really more an NBA team, because it's a little, it's small, like an NFL team. It's just so many people that everybody just has to do their job well.
Yeah.
And it's so many moving parts. Whereas an NBA team is like you kind of have certain people for certain things, because NBA players play both ways. They play offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, football, they're in, yeah, just football generally, there's offense and then there's defense.
Mm-hmm.
People have totally different roles and it doesn't intertwine. Whereas NBA, you're going to be playing on both sides. Now it's like, I need you to step into your role for us to actually thrive.
Mm.
And it's not about you being better or worse. It's about you playing your position.
Yeah.
Being where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do in the moments.
Yeah.
And that will actually make us a better team than you just being amazing at everything.
Mm.
And that, and it goes for marriage where you have to step into roles.
Yeah.
It's like every day, you know, mommy or daddy has to do something, or husband or wife, whichever, you know, however your position, your life is.
Yeah.
You can't always be great.
Mm-hmm.
Much as everybody's like, yo, I want to be great. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always be great.
Mm-hmm.
I can't always be rich if I'm not.
Right.
I'm rich. It's like, but you ain't got no money, bro.
Huh.
It's like, that's not one of those things. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I'm super dad, but you're not super dad right now. Like, you can be super dad, but you're mm-hmm. not right now.
Right.
So
right.
Now mommy needs to be super mom
mm-hmm.
if she can.
Right.
Right. And if neither one of us can, then somebody got to do something. Right. Right.
Then we got to come yes. together we and gotta be come okay, mom right. and dad.
We, there you go. Like we got to come together and be good parents.
Right.
Nobody's great. We're just good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's that role playing that can make the difference in making things more successful.
And I love what you said, because on the NBA team, if this moment calls for. Well, let me know. I think the NFL is a better example.
Okay.
Because, like, they are on the offense or mm-hmm. they are on the defense. But at different times of the game, they are doing a different thing.
No.
No.
No. Generally, they're always doing the same thing. So it,
oh, NBA, so you're saying that
NBA
in the NBA, guys, this happens like every other episode, me trying to understand sports.
Analogy. Well, here's the thing.
Because I can't use it as an analogy if I don't know what's happening, because I got to sort it out first.
Yeah, NBA would have been better because nobody leaves the court.
Well, can I explain why I thought that?
Go ahead.
Because, like, first is this team's turn to try to get a touchdown, and then they turn around, they're trying to keep the other team from getting one.
Yes.
So it's like at two different times. But you're saying the person, right. whatever position they play, that never
correct.
Changes. That, I got you.
Correct.
I see. Now,
that's a completely different set of people.
Okay.
That's doing
okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah, that's different.
Right. That's like it's like four okay. separate teams on
versus on right. the NBA. It literally goes back and forth
right.
and back and forth.
Same five.
I
people.
Got you.
Right.
Okay. Right. Because they literally are going they're, back and
right.
forth the whole time.
Specifically. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that is a better example.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on what's going on, depending mm-hmm. on the circumstances around you or what stage of the game you're in, mm-hmm. you have to fall in where you're supposed to be. And sometimes that changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think in marriage, you know, that shifting of the weight
oh, yeah.
happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes people can get too locked into roles.
That's true.
You know, because if mommy has the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy might have to do some dishes, change sure. some diapers, you know, vacuum and cook mm-hmm. and stuff like that more than he usually would.
Yeah.
You know, and then vice versa. If daddy, God forbid, has some sort of injury that keeps him out of work for a few months or just period,
mm-hmm.
you know, mommy has to get a job. You know, but it's like you're always you're the title of your position never changes. But sometimes the responsibilities that are necessary
right.
and the areas that you need to fill
right.
can fluctuate.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, right. And you playing your role to the best of your ability for whatever situation
right.
is more critical than you trying to do everything well. Sometimes,
exactly.
It which is. And that happens NBA wise because the matchup is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like here we are. We're and let's say if we're a team and we like to be very physical mm-hmm. as a team. Mm-hmm. And we go up against a team that's softer, and they like to be what would be called more finesse. They like to out-technical. They out-technique you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make crisp passes. We're going to do the plays well. And what happens is it kind of takes away your not toughness. It takes away from your finesse, but you have to be even more tough with them. But what happens when the something that's facing you is just as tough, or it's a team that's just as tough as you, like, it forces you to do something different.
Yeah.
It's like, now, okay, whatever. Because
our toughness does not work.
It doesn't work here.
Yeah.
So now we have to go more finesse.
Yeah.
You know, now we have to play big. We mm-hmm. gotta. They have a smaller team. All right, we're going to put our big guys in.
Yeah.
Your time is bigger. All right, we're going to put our smaller guys in because they won't be able to cover us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sportsy right there. But true nonetheless.
Yeah.
But having to literally play whatever role is necessary on any given day is what'll make stuff successful.
Amen.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. Like, but without your overarching goal changing.
Correct.
You know, because the center is always going to be the center.
Right.
The point guard is always going to be the point guard. See, I know a little bit.
I see what you're doing there.
I see a little. I know
I see what you're doing. If you want to flirt, just flirt. Don't, y'all don't need sports. You know.
All right, that's good. The only ones I
know. That was good. That was strong. At least they was. You didn't say quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not that bad. No, but you know, so it's like, even though in the spur of the moment you might have to do something that just makes sense in the moment.
Yeah.
The majority of the time, and your overarching goal is to cover the position of center or whatever.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, that there's flexibility in it. There's nuance in it, but. You still have the same calling.
Yeah. Amen.
Your calling does not change.
All right. I hear you.
Amen.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. But when you're together, because our callings are different. Mm-hmm. And when you're together, it's like, you know, because that's the thing. I was just saying this the other day. God gives you grace for what he actually called you to do.
Lord,
he does not give you grace to do what he has not called you to do. And people be trying to step outside of.
Oh, Lord.
They're calling.
Why would you say that?
And wonder why God is not equipping them or deceiving themselves to think.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's all pride.
Yes.
It's all pride.
It's all pride.
Because people that do assume that they're good at everything and that they got it all by themselves, you know, because it's more than just, oh, I can do everything.
Yeah.
It's also, I can do it all by myself.
Oh, man.
I don't need no help. I don't need no support. I got this.
Wow.
And oh my goodness, I was just talked to two friends and they both were saying the same thing in two different areas. One of them was talking about ministry in the church and how she now is under a pastor who also micromanages. So her last pastor micromanaged and this pastor micromanages too.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother.
That's just funny, but
that's a whole nother episode.
Can't trust y'all people. Can't trust y'all.
That's a whole nother episode because that's pride too. But anyway,
insecurity. Well, at the heart, well, it may not be pride.
Okay,
it's more of a control issue.
Uh huh.
And it might be a trust issue. It's certainly a trust issue.
Yeah.
It may not
in
be
God,
pride. It may
not
be
people.
Right. Well, yeah, not people. Well, more so trust issue with people. Maybe not God.
But you're not trusting God to give you the right people and help them to do what they need to do. Like, if you think everything falls apart without you, that's prideful.
Well, it depends on if you feel like it's necessarily going to fall apart. Or sometimes people just aren't equipped yet.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I'm talking about when you have people who are equipped in position.
We can't get too far into that.
Now we can't.
We'll be here. we'll be there for a while.
Maybe we'll pick up the next episode with that.
Micromanage.
Not trusting your partner.
Oh, no.
My God.
Oh, Jesus. Who is this lady?
But, so she was saying, but she said, I don't mind that this pastor micromanages as much because she's more equipped. Mm-hmm. Like she actually, so there's a difference between you being equipped and being under the leadership of a person who knows what they're talking about and actually is able to do it.
Okay.
And they're doing it and not letting you do it, but they're going to do a good job versus a person who has no clue what they're doing that is telling everybody what to do.
Sure enough. See, what you got to do is he trying to show you how to play the, you're like, you don't play no piano, brother.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, on that one song, you was going fast. I feel like you needed to go slower.
Slow it down. It's like it was a Ricky
Dillard.
It's more of a
worship. It's like this is literally
one more chance. One more. I'm like, that's how the song goes. Nah, I seen, you know, you want to go.
I think we should have taken a worship route. not a praise route.
Oh, mercy.
No, but people really do. People think of themselves more highly than they ought. And don't realize they actually need support from the team that God has given them.
Lord have mercy. Let the word say, let no man think more of himself than he ought.
No.
Let none of us, I believe, is actually think more of us than we ought.
Nobody.
But that's where we miss. I feel like grace is we misunderstand grace. Mm-hmm. I told you, I just found out as a 30-something-year-old man that grace is empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's part of the definition of it. Where now it's like you think you have grace where you feel like this is going to go easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think the definition by most people's standards is. Yeah. Grace meaning like, well, our actual definition of grace is giving you something that you don't deserve,
mm-hmm.
which is completely, that's such a broad concept.
It is.
That's not specific to a grace that means, cause, well, they let's say it like this, because they tie mercy and grace and say, well, mercy is God holding back something that you do deserve, mm-hmm. and grace is God giving you something that you giving to you something you don't
Which
deserve.
Which is true, but it there is may true. Be more nuance, right. yes. But,
yeah, that's a very broad concept that needs to be actually kind of honed in when it comes to, I have a grace in this area.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, so I have something I don't deserve in this area, mm-hmm. right? See, that doesn't make sense. It's like, well, you do, but what is it?
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, we don't deserve anything.
Right. You don't deserve anything. Yeah. Right. So now it's like, well, what does that mean? But to be grace, it literally means I am empowered in this area.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I have grace on me in this area. It means God is literally going to give me the strength and capacity to do what he's called me to do in this area.
That does make me wonder if there's different root words mm-hmm. in like the Greek, maybe in different maybe. Instances, because we are saved by grace through faith and not mm-hmm. by works. That literally is
yes, that's
the grace that
right.
we're always talking about.
Exactly.
But then when he says sufficient grace to do,
right,
that's a different grace.
It's a different type of grace.
Yeah.
There it is. And it's just different types of graces.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
gotta look that up later.
Yeah, look that up. So be studied. Yeah. But knowing that is empowerment changes my understanding of it, because
mm-hmm.
we know that salvation is grace and
yeah
and God can grace you with certain things, but to know that he is giving you the ability to do something through grace
mm-hmm.
takes on a completely different aspect.
Yeah, because you won't be out here just trying to do whatever, assuming that he will bless whatever you decided
yeah
to do.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
especially when this is when it gets hard, Chels, because just because you're grace to do it doesn't mean it won't be hard as a knuckleball.
Oh yeah,
like it won't be super difficult.
Yeah.
But now what happens is you have to be able to go back to the grace,
yeah,
and know that you are empowered and say this is just for a time,
yeah.
as opposed to what am I doing here?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
why did I do this?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's actually pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like grace is something that you can't really play with, because you'll find yourself in, like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody doing something right now that they are not graced to do, that they've figured out how to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard as a rascal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's difficult. And I've been where the grace lifts. And mm-hmm. that's crazy. When the grace lifts off of you being able to do something, doing it becomes so hard.
Mm.
It's like, and matter of fact, this is what happened to me recently, where God literally lifted his hand off me for a few days, like a couple weeks. Not a couple weeks. I'm sorry. Not a couple weeks. It was months ago. But I ended up looking at some stuff that I shouldn't have looked at, because I was being just like, hey, I'm going to look,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I find myself like, all right, well, you know, I've done this before, you know, because there's a difference between being like, I'm struggling not to look, and I'm just going to look.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need to look at certain images at all now. But it's like you find yourself there. And then God said, okay, he already told you it's like a dog going back to his vomit.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's what you want to do? He's already empowered. This is grace. He's giving you the grace to actually say no.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in bondage to, you know, pornography, or you're not in bondage to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're not necessarily free, you know, because free is just like, what's pornography? Free is like what images, you know?
I don't, right.
It's like
why would I do that?
It's like how I am, you know, with like smoking cigarettes or
yeah.
you know, or anything that doesn't even occur to me to do.
Like, yeah.
You're free from those types of things, but you have to be, you know, you're delivered from certain things, and most men may never be, you know, free, but fine. Right. So you have that grace to be like, no, mm-hmm. or just turn and just be like, no, I'm good. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. But okay, you're going to abuse the grace.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So now he lifted the hand off where I didn't feel like he was with me.
Mm.
And this is when I was literally trying to do praise and worship.
Mm.
Praise and worship is easy
mm-hmm.
for me. And I was trying to do praise and worship, and I felt like I couldn't do it.
Mm.
Like, I literally felt that. This is when I asked you to sing, because I literally felt like, you know, like, I just don't, like, I don't even, like, I don't have it.
Mm.
And I felt that grace lift, and it was so evident to me that now I'm like, more like, ain't no way in H.
Mm.
Like, I didn't understand what John Bevere was saying about, like, the fear of the Lord. Or rather, I didn't have a true personal perspective of, he's saying the fear of the Lord is that it's not that you're afraid of him. You're afraid to be away from him.
Yeah.
And now that's where I am. I'm like, I never want to feel like that.
Yeah.
Like, where God lifted his hand off me. And I didn't. And that's the problem, is like, when you walk with God, we can get stale and like forget. It's like, mm-hmm. yo, I have so much anointing and grace and power on you that, okay, watch me lift my hand and then go ahead and see.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about something that's natural.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have to try. Like, I could, let's just do it. It comes natural. I lift my hand off you. And it's like, you don't even know what you're doing out there.
Wow.
And I literally cried out to the Lord, to the point where I literally was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't want to. I'm sorry. Like, I couldn't make no excuses because I didn't have none. I just literally had to say to the Lord, like, after some days, like, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And, you know, he restored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I'm like, no, ain't even no way. Like, I don't even want to be in that position.
Yeah.
But it's the grace.
Yeah.
It's the grace, that empowering grace that is just, you know, you almost can't even appreciate it until it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I have a very close friend who I tell her all the time, and I feel like, because God really does use things that seem like they could be bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the good. Like, some things are good mm-hmm. that we call bad. And she grew up in legalism and, you know, and fear, like where the fear of the Lord was actually, I'm afraid of him.
Right.
I am terrified because literally the earth is going to open up and I will be swallowed up if I step wrong one time or in any type of way, you know. And she and I have done Bible studies together for quite some time now. And, you know, she's really come to appreciate the fact that, like, God really just loves her,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that time.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I was already grateful to God just for, like, giving us an opportunity to be saved, you know, and, like, looking forward to going to heaven and all that. But I was so scared that at any moment I could jeopardize that for myself,
right.
that I couldn't really enjoy the freedom of it.
Yeah.
And really, like, serve him from a place of love rather than fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, but when I talked to her, though, you know, yes, she had to get some doctrinal things right.
Mm-hmm.
But it really convicts me, though.
Yeah.
Like, how afraid she is. She's like, I don't want to be away from God. I just don't want him to go away from me. I don't want to leave his presence. I just don't want his presence. It's like she has such an understanding of that,
mm-hmm.
that, like, sin really does stand between you and God.
Right.
Those of us who were raised with an understanding of grace can sometimes take grace for granted.
Right.
Because we just, because God, you know, his grace is all, he forgives me.
Right.
You know, what does Chris Clark always say?
You know my heart.
God knows my heart. God knows my heart.
Yeah.
We, those of us who are too handy with the God knows my heart.
Oh, man.
It's like you may have never even really experienced,
you
know, being close to God and the presence of God to even know what you are are missing.
Yes.
You know, like when have.
Oh, yeah.
Like you were saying, the reason it was so evident to you is because you had the grace.
There it is.
And now the grace is gone. It's the same as.
Right.
It's the same as Saul.
Yes.
God lifted his grace off of Saul, and Saul was struggling.
Yes.
And he wanted to get back, but he was just going his own way to try to get back.
Oh, mercy. mercy.
You know, he's trying to get Samuel back, and he goes to
a soothsayer
yeah. to bring him from the dead. It's like, you know you ain't supposed to be doing that. Come on now. Right. But he was so desperate to get back. He's just like, but wait, I need to hear from Samuel. It's like, no, sweetie, you need to hear from God. But, you know, it's a lot. But, it like, lot. You don't know what that's like until you know what it's like. And then once you know what it's like, it is definitely something you don't want to lose.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's where, and when you were saying that, I was just thinking about literally all the times where I was, you know, I was looking at pornography just like, you know, before I was even delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was never an issue like, well, is the grace on me? Is it not?
Right.
Didn't even notice because, you know, I knew that, and this is how sad it was. I would try to do is not watch porn on Saturday nights. Because I felt like, man, you don't need to be going right to church. You know, you over here looking at porn. It's like, forget Monday through, you know, Friday. It's like, no, I don't want to do it on that day.
Right.
But then, even then, it wasn't like, oh, I feel like the grace is on me. I feel like it's off me. Nope.
Right.
Didn't even know because I wasn't seeking him.
Yeah. You didn't know.
Didn't know.
You didn't know.
Did not know. Mm-hmm. So now, once you start seeking, okay, Moses. And where's my Bible? I'll paraphrase because thank you, Lord, because Moses is in the desert and he's at the back of the desert and, you know, he sees the burning bush.
Yeah.
And where's my Bible? I think it's in the car or something, but or it's over there, but I'm not going to get up to get it. I'm going to just make the point. He sees the burning bush. Because he's off shepherd. First of all, it's so much there. It's already.
There's so much everywhere.
There's so much in Moses that it's like, all right, man, you're just doing your thing out here.
Yeah.
Because he's so humble. He's the meekest man. Literally, the Bible says he's the meekest man on all the earth.
Yeah, wow.
Which means it's true.
Wow.
Which is already like, you know, or it says he's the most humble man on all the earth. And then he is also meek, which is, it says something about Moses' character, even though he grew up in a palace, but still was humble. So humble that he spent 40 years in the palace and spent 40 years as a shepherd, literally the most diametrically opposed people on earth.
Yeah.
From like, I am the world leader to I am nothing to this world leader. Mm. And he spent both, never complained about either one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. and I literally came to the conclusion, it's like Moses spent his 40-year ministry with the Lord in the wilderness.
Mm.
He never left the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the point is Moses is in the bush, or now he's in the bush. He's in the desert and he sees the bush. And the Bible says that Moses says to himself, let me go see what's over there.
Mm-hmm.
He says it didn't just say he walked over there. He said within his heart, let me go and see what's over there. And then the Bible says that the Lord saw that he made up in his mind to come see. And then he called out to Moses.
Yeah.
It was the seeking that is like, oh, I want to see what that is.
Right.
I want to know who you are, God.
Right.
Draw nigh to me. Now I draw nigh to you. Okay. You want to know? Now you can come.
Yeah.
But take those shoes off.
Mm.
Take those shoes off, Moses.
Mm.
Take that sin off. If you don't bring, you can't bring that sin into my presence.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm holy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for you and fortunately for you, but you can't bring that sin into my presence.
Yeah.
But when there's no seeking, the sin is just with you.
It is.
Wherever you go.
And there's no power to fight against it.
Right. There's certainly no power to fight against it.
And going back to Ecclesiastes 4, the NLT version was saying, I'll just paraphrase, the NLT version was saying, and if you are under attack by one person, two can withstand the one person.
Mm-hmm.
But the NLT version was saying you could stand back to back and fight because, like, we're being attacked from every side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's just you, it's like you got your straightforward, you got your peripheral, you don't got eyes behind your head.
No.
You know, it's like really literally the coming together of brothers and sisters in Christ, of husband and wife, of whatever, friends, you know, is that I got your back.
Yeah.
And not only like, well, I support you in the things that you share with me, but I'm going to see things that you don't see and I'm going to help you fight those things.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm praying for you and you don't know I'm praying for you.
Right.
And you don't even know those prayers are being applied on your behalf. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's just very interesting. I don't remember what you said that triggered that thought. What did you just say? You said...
What was it about teamwork? It was about grace or not knowing.
not knowing and grace, the power to withstand sin.
Right.
You know, and but the thing is, you know, God, if you don't understand what God has given you by giving you your spouse, you will not properly utilize that power.
Yeah.
That gift. You know, it's like it, you have a spouse and you're out here just trying to fight stuff by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, I got it. I got everything. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not going to allow you to do what God put you in my life to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you don't do that, when you don't understand that, you know, you can't utilize. Like, it's the same thing as, you know, you give an old person a smartphone.
Yeah.
And all they do with it is call people because they don't know how to do anything else on there.
Uh-oh.
They still riding around with a map.
Oh, man. And a smartphone.
Like, oh, no, I got my map. I'm going to go visit Susan up in Ohio. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, sweetheart, GPS, put her address in right here. Mm. You can have things like tools that God has given you, gifts and support and help and strength and power. Yeah. I was just saying to my friend earlier, too, that, you know, because he was saying he's been doing all this giving. He works in a school and he's been doing all this giving because they don't have a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and he said, you know, my mom had to send me money for groceries. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you have money for groceries. I said, something I'm realizing is that when you give, God says he'll give back to you. He'll make sure your needs are met. He doesn't say how.
No.
And he doesn't say you have. That's what we want all the time.
Yeah.
I have it.
Right.
I know where it's coming from.
Certainly what we want.
I am secure. It's me.
Yeah.
I didn't need anybody to give it to me. Mm. I didn't need anybody to do it for me.
Right.
You know, and sometimes the way that God provides for you is someone gave it to you or someone did it for you.
Yes.
And if we aren't humble enough to just accept the way that God gives us provision.
Yeah.
You know, like a spouse is provision.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that absolutely is. They are just, they are your other half, your better half, your sounding board, your counsel, your helper.
Yeah.
You know,
prayer warrior.
Prayer, definitely, especially your wife, because you know, women pray. They pray different. You know, they really, because women really, it's because women are better communicators, I believe, and prayers,
and also just more emotionally connected.
Yes, they can. Well, they can be.
We bear our heart a lot.
Right, and that's what God wants.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy for y'all to just bear how you feel because you're more in touch and you actually know the problem more so. Man will be crying. He don't even know why. You know, oh man. Oh, it's like, say they laughed at me. Who laughed at you? When I was eight.
No, that's not even a good example.
You're 48.
The issue is, but how did that make you feel? I don't know.
I don't know how that made me feel. I don't know why I'm crying.
Right. I don't know. It just
was
messed up.
I don't know why I'm sad.
It was just messed up. It was.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah. But I feel like we're going to have to part to it, my love.
Yeah, yeah.
Or really, we'll just pick it up, I guess.
Yeah.
And wherever we like.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, teamwork is making the dream work, and
come on,
and understanding your role in that team is like the Lord is the coach. And if you really want to get more specific, it's almost really, it's like God the Father is the owner of the team.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the coach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like your captains are your pastors or what have you. And then you have a team role and everybody plays their role.
Oof.
Right. That's what it's really like.
Amen.
In that you have to take the instructions from the coach. He knows exactly what the owner wants. And you have to take the instructions from
whatever
the coach.
Whatever the father, I don't do anything other than what the father
there
tells
it is.
Me to
I don't do.
Do
anything. And that's what happens sometimes. The owner makes a call to the sideline and you know, they're pulling people in and out. Don't nobody understand why.
Yeah.
Coach and owner know, they know exactly why.
Yeah, yeah.
People are pulling you in and out of situations. Wow. You don't know why? Your coach and that owner, they know exactly why.
Wow.
They have other plans for you. They have other plans for the franchise, for the movement. You know what I mean? And we cannot despise the move of God, but we should rather accept it and be humble enough to realize, let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the boat with the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
The storm is there, but let's just, hey, let's get in. Come on. Let's go. Hop in that boat.
Amen.
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 I love you. Love you.
Love you too.
We'll pick up next week. And for those who have listened, thank you. appreciate you. All right. And we'll see you next time.
All right.
All right. Peace.